Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're celebrating Thanksgiving Sunday, which is typically held during the time after Epiphany each year. It's a day when we focus on giving thanks to God for his goodness towards us. And today I've chosen the Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 6 as a focus. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's reading is taken from Jesus' so-called Sermon on the Mount. In the lead-up to the reading, Jesus is teaching his disciples about life under God the Father's care, and specifically the proper attitude Christians should take towards possessions. Immediately prior to our reading, Jesus encourages the disciples to store up treasures in heaven for themselves, warning that they cannot serve both God and Mammon, the personification of earthly wealth. Knowing, however, that all humans struggle to some degree with the right attitude toward possessions, Jesus concludes this particular section of the Sermon on the Mount with the words, "Don't worry about your life." He then goes on to explain exactly why we don't need to worry. But before I unpack why we don't need to worry, I think it's helpful for us to reflect on why we do, on occasion, worry about our lives and our possessions. To put it bluntly, we worry because we are people of little faith, as Jesus says in verse 30. The root cause of our worry is idolatry. As Luther explains in the Catechism, that which we fear, love, and trust is our God. And if we don't fear, love, and trust the God of the Bible, then we'll find an idol to trust in instead. If you want to know what idols you have in your life, simply ask yourself what you most fear to lose. It might be possessions. It might be your life or quality of your life, for example, your health. Or an idol might be losing the people who play an important part in your life. Now, while it's true that idolatry is the root cause of worry, Jesus doesn't belabor this point in this reading. His main concern is not to condemn his disciples for their trust in false gods, but to help them trust the real God. He doesn't condemn us for our lack of faith, but he seeks to increase the faith that we already have, the faith we received at our baptism, even if our faith is only little. Jesus addresses our tendency to worry because of our little faith by putting our concerns into perspective in verses 31 to 33. So do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given as well." In this passage, Jesus is not saying that our lives are unimportant. Quite the opposite. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus refers to God many times as your heavenly Father. He wants you to remember that God is not some distant, impersonal being, but he is a personal Father who cares for his human children. Jesus doesn't say, "Don't worry about your life because your life is worthless," but "Don't worry about your life because your life is precious to God." God knows that you need things to stay alive. You need food and clothing. You need health. You need family and friends in your life to make your life worthwhile. And because God loves you, He wants to meet those needs. To reinforce His point, Jesus uses the following illustrations. He says, firstly, look at the birds. They are insignificant compared to you, and yet God still cares for them. They don't labor like human beings, yet God still makes sure that they are fed. If that is true of the birds, then how much more for you, His children? Similarly, Jesus uses the example of plants. Grass is ephemeral, yet God still pays it attention. He creates beautiful flowers to decorate the fields. If God takes such exquisite care of something that is here today and gone tomorrow, then won't He care even more for you, people whom He has created to live with Him forever? So no, Jesus is not saying your lives are unimportant to God. Nor does He say that you shouldn't be concerned about your lives. But at the same time, Jesus wants you to see your earthly lives from God's heavenly perspective, so that you learn not to worry about them. Our lives here on earth are extremely short compared with the eternal life to come. As C.S. Lewis envisages at the end of the Narnia series, our earthly life is only like the title page of a book, with the real content to follow. But only those who leave this life with God as their Father will live with Him forever. Those who love and trust in their idols will sadly perish along with those idols. And that's why Jesus insists that we seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. As Jesus explains later in Matthew chapter 16, what good is it if someone were to gain the whole world but lose their soul in the process? Paradoxically, Jesus says in the same passage that those who lose their life for His sake will actually find it. He promises that when we make God's kingdom and righteousness first in our lives, then we will receive everything else that we need as well. When you fear, love, and trust God, then you don't need to worry about your lives, because they are in the care of God, who not only created you, but promises to keep you alive through this life on earth and into eternity. So, in light of all that Jesus teaches us, how do we stop worrying about our lives? The answer is to increase our faith in God. Now, of course, that's not something that we can do ourselves, because faith is a gift from God. But we can ask Him to grow our faith, and we can make use of the means by which He has already promised to give us faith, that is, through His Word and the sacraments. As you dwell in God's Word, you find their assurance of a Heavenly Father who loves you and loves providing for you. You learn in His Word that He knows your needs even before you do, and delights in giving you good things. As you dwell in God's Word, you realize that His ultimate goal is for you to live with Him in heaven forever, and He has done everything necessary to get you there. He has created you. He sent His Son to save you from sin, especially from the sin of idolatry. And He continues to send you His Holy Spirit to grow the fruit of faith in your lives, so that you don't just spend this life waiting for a better one in eternity, but that you use this time to share and demonstrate God's love to others. Now, it's true that trusting God's promises is sometimes difficult, especially when life doesn't go the way we would like it to go. God promises to give us what we need, not necessarily what we want. On the other hand, the world constantly bombards us with messages that if we only have the right job or enough money saved in the bank or a good house or the right type of people in our lives, well, then our lives will be perfect. And so the world encourages us to work harder or longer or be more disciplined to achieve our earthly dreams. But this is actually a distraction. No amount of physical possessions will make life on earth perfect or perfectly safe. And even if they could, they would cease to be of benefit when we die. Only God can give us what we truly need. And that's why we need to keep coming back to His Word. We need to hear again and again God's truth to counter the world's lies. And that's also why we need to come to church regularly, to receive Jesus' body and blood again and again, to keep the new life which we received at our baptism strong. Sometimes it's also difficult to trust God's promises because He allows things to happen that appear to contradict His word. For example, God still allows us to get sick or experience financial hardship or relational difficulties. And then the devil gets stuck into us saying, "See, you can't trust God," leading us to worry again. It's at these times that Jesus' object lessons can help us. When we know from God's word that He is good, but we struggle to feel that it's true, God's providence for His whole creation can encourage us. When we see how He cares for insignificant birds or lavishes beauty on short-lived grass, we realize that God is still good and He still has good intentions towards us, even when He allows us to suffer. The final way God helps us combat worry that I want to mention today is thankfulness. When we develop a habit of starting our daily prayers with thanks, or when we celebrate Thanksgiving communally like we are today, we are not just honoring God. Thankfulness also benefits us and helps to strengthen our faith in Him. Through thankfulness, we bring to mind God's faithfulness to us in the past. We remember all the times that He has proven Himself good and loving towards us. And then as we celebrate God's goodness in the past, we also learn to trust Him that He will continue to do so into the future. His faithful track record up until now assures us that we need not worry about the future, because that too is in God's care. Dear children of God, don't worry about your life, because your Heavenly Father cares for you. He loves you like He loves His only begotten Son, and so He promises to give you everything that you need. Dwell in His Word and receive His sacraments often so that He can increase your faith. See His goodness and give thanks for it so that He can take away your worries and sustain you through this life and into eternal life. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.